what I do know and trust is that, you know, the divine will show up through whoever it sees fit. You know, it'll be a gangster. It could be a grandmother. It could be, you know, somebody turning their life around, a child.
Welcome to The Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifester that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. Today's episode is so good. This guest we've been waiting to have on for ages now until she could make it out to LA. Many of you know her and follow her Instagram, messaging daily because she's full of so much inspiration, vulnerability, and tools. Layla Delia. But before we get into that, I want to kind of just give you an update. We're going to skip the My Magnetic Story and the supported question this week. We'll get back to all of that next week. But I had to share this with you guys because I had this little moment of being afraid of the superstition jinxing. So I was like, ugh, I just got to get rid of that shadow right now and share with the community because, as you know, I don't really believe in superstition. And we really went through all of that about 2 months ago. Since I was about 20, I had on my vision board a Malibu house. I just always knew I wanted to be in the country on the water if I had to be in LA. And around 25, when I started this different manifestation technique, I started really calling in a house in Topanga. I had really fallen in love with Topanga at that point. It's hippie vibes and energy. And truthfully, it feels like my hometown, but on the ocean. It has all of the oaks and the rolling hills. It's a very similar landscape, a little bit more deserty. And so when Max and I first got together 4 years ago, in year one, we began to co-create our list together. And anybody who's in a relationship, it's tricky manifesting with your partner. I feel like we need to do a whole workshop on this because both have to be in complete alignment with what they're asking for. They both have to be utterly exactly expanded, passing the exact same test that comes through individually for each of them, and then ready to face the magic dark together. And so, as you can imagine, Max and I operate at very different speeds. We both have Mars and Aries, but we just want different things at different times. And so it's taken us quite a few years to get exactly on that same page following all of those steps. And I think it was about 3 months ago that I finally gave Max an ultimatum because I see how much nature and being up here at the retreat house has healed me. I just said, I can't live in Echo Park in the city anymore. It's too taxing on me, whether it's the pollution, the non-native EMFs, the blue light. I mean, just that much energy and stimulation as I'm so sensitive. I have to live in the country. If you want to be together, the only reason I have to be in LA is because of you. We need to move to Topanga. And so he agreed. And that's when we really sped up our manifestation process together as a couple. You could say I was passing a test with that, or no longer settling for what wasn't serving me. And so all of this rambling just to share with you all that we saw a house that was on our list. We saw two. And one was really ideal to everything I wanted. However, it was just too close to Old Topanga Road. So far, too much noise. But I mean, perfect. And then we found another. We just totally in the dark made an offer on it together. This is also a huge thing because I'm a huge commitment phobe. So the thought of buying a house with a partner is so scary for me. And I'm already having to unblock so much in that. And long story short, through negotiations, right price, we were accepted. So I'm headed back down there to go do inspections and bring in our feng shui lady and check for mold and all of that stuff. So who knows if anything goes awry in that process, then this will have just been a test and an expander and we'll move on to the next. But if it's the right place, then we'll be closing and finally making this manifestation that's been one in the making for myself personally for years, and then now as a couple for years. And I wanted to share that, A, to really out my own shadow, B, to expand anybody who is working through calling in very big things with their partners, and C, just to kind of take a moment to reflect in that I do this process just like you guys. I'm now having to get really, really hardcore on my DREs to deal with all of my commitment fears that are coming up. I witnessed my mom go through a horrific, horrific separation with my stepdad, and it really put my brother through a lot of damage. So I have a lot of trauma left over of like being trapped with a partner, hence why I don't think we're married yet or why we don't share anything financially. So this is a really big step, and I think it's a huge, big energetic projection communicating to the universe and a spirit baby as well. May that be a baby we adopt or one that we conceive biologically, that we're really creating a solid foundation together for now. So that's my sort of update. A lot of fun things. I just really want to thank everybody again. We're at 1.25 million downloads. It's all because of you, because you're sharing with your friends, your Unblocked Village, your family that resonates with manifestation. Let's get into today's episode. You are going to be tremendously expanded by this woman, regardless of what walk of life you come from. She really... when I envision her energetically, purity comes to mind, not because she's living in absolute purity, but because she's on this beautiful, sacred road to virtue, if that makes sense. She's massively expansive. And I think you'll really feel that and identify with the expansion if you come from an inner city district upbringing, if you are from a mixed multicultural background, if you are a spiritual teacher, if you are a mother. I mean, the list goes on and on. Her grace, her patience, her generosity is the word that comes to mind, is just going to blow your heart wide open, as it has with mine. I'm so grateful to have her on. Let's get into this together. You're going to be listening to Layla Delia. Welcome back to the Expanded Podcast. We're here with Layla Delia, who is going to explain for us briefly your explanation as to your name.
It was my grandmother's name. Really? And I have no idea. My black grandmother.
Yeah.
And you know that. They didn't have those kind of names. Half Spanish.
Half Spanish.
Half Spanish.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. And do you speak Spanish and everything?
I wish. My mother, her generation of our family, they were so caught into like...
Trying to assimilate.
Exactly. Yeah. That they didn't...
It like, breaks my us. Heart.
I know. We're like, no. So at some point, I mean, I know a little, but no, I'm not fluent. I wish I was.
So then Layla Delia.
Yes.
Is that your last name?
And that's my Spanish grandmother's name.
Wow.
So Moore is my last name.
Wow. You just go by Layla Delia.
Layla Delia. Yeah, okay. Just because for me... I have a quote that says, your grandmother's prayers are still protecting you.
I love that.
Yeah. And so for me, it's just knowing that I was by birth name, it is my grandmother's names. I just felt right doing this work in the world. Just kind of keeping that ancestry, lineage, the elders kind of with me, mm-hmm. almost as support in my spirit, knowing that these are women who I carry their name. And they were such soulful. My black grandmother was like a church mother, like the quintessential black, you know, mother feeding people, you know, just the whole comfort. And my Spanish grandmother was just fabulous. they're both expanders in their own ways. And it was interesting because at a young girl, I really thought that and saw that.
Wow.
Even though I didn't have the language for it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You knew that. You knew that they were people you looked up to and that they showed you what you wanted was possible.
Yes.
Tell us your sun sign.
So I am a Cancer.
And I can feel it. And right when she said it earlier before this, I was like, I knew you were a Cancer.
You knew it.
Yes.
And then the look in your eye too, I was like, oh, it was a comforting knowing. Like, she knows me.
I was like, she's so in touch with her emotions and so raw with your, I mean, you can read it in your writing that you're really, you hold that space and you're open in that space. And your human design is?
Manifesting generator.
Which, who read it for you?
Melania Snow.
Who's amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
She was so amazing. And I had no idea what that was. And she knew. She's like, I knew it. I knew this what you were. And she did it for me and showed me how to find the website to do it myself. But yeah, she put me onto that. And I've heard you talk about it. And so I was like, this is a real thing.
It's a lot too.
It's a lot.
Did it resonate when you heard it for the first time?
It did resonate for the first time. And I felt, for me, the more that I'm learning and stepping out and just being so open to all these different paths that are opening up and showing themselves to us in this day and time, I'm finding it intriguing that we're able to find more of ourselves in these things. Like, we're the Enneagram?
Enneagram, yeah.
Even that. And I'm really resonating with a lot of these teachings. And I feel when we're in these earthly bodies, we need all the help and instruction we can get.
Especially what we were talking about before with the EMFs. And,
oh, gosh.
And, you know, your whole brand is raising your vibration.
Right.
It's your whole brand. And, like, I believe the more we raise our frequency and our vibration, the more sensitive we become, the more conscious we become, the more sensitive we become.
Same.
So these systems really help us ground, in my opinion, is what I've found.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go way back. We have so much to dig into.
Ooh, let's dig.
You gave us a little slice of it, but what's your cultural upbringing and background? Where are you from? Give us the whole culture, the childhood.
Yeah, so I'll start with, my mother is Spanish and my father is African-American, Native American. And they are both from New Mexico. They have that whole heritage. And, you know, New Mexico, they really honor their heritage there. It's like its own country almost. And so, but they're transplants from there to California. And my father, after my parents separated and went their own way. And back then it wasn't unconscious coupling. It was just...
It was trauma uncoupling.
Yeah. It was just like, peace, see you. you know, let's go party, disco, whatever. You know, it was like a party thing around it. Like, they were both really happy when they separated. And they were, it seems like, to be in their power. It was, there was not a lot of heaviness I felt around it, but there was heartbreak. And so to see how they were able to balance that out to where it didn't look a mess and it didn't feel like a mess to me until I got a little older, you know, because they were able to kind of hide it for a while. So as a little girl, I didn't know, you know, that a divorce was a bad thing. And, you know, my father did a lot to really shelter me. We were in South Central Los Angeles in the war zone, to be exact. In the, you know, you're right. It's the toughest part of South Central. But he made me feel like I was living in a sacred space. And when I got older, I would say maybe by 9, at an age to really be aware of other families and mother and fathers in the house, it started hitting me then. And I went through a depression. And I was not happy that my mother and father were not together. And by this time, my mother had moved on. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't sitting right with me that she wasn't with my father. You know, I was like, oh, okay, if you can be married to my father. You know, that whole thing. And it was hard. And I had a brother from that marriage, from my mother and that husband. And it was just really hard diving into that whole world of step-parents and, you know, the feelings. And a lot of times as children, we don't know how to process that. We have no container. There's no language, especially at that time. This was in the 80s. And especially also with the culture, kind of how we came out of, you know, it was like, just whatever we do, you know, this is, as we kind of say, grown folks' business, you know, and children kind of just be quiet and go along with it. Where today it's none of that. We're just really aware. We're making sure our children are good and they understand and they're part of the conversation. Even when it comes to conscious parenting or vibrational based parenting, like I like to call it. So that was there. That was the ups and downs with how I felt my parents' marriage affected me. It did cause some depression. And beyond that, it was, you know, there was highs and lows because there was also my church life with my grandmother, Layla. I'm named after both my grandmothers. So grandmother Layla, a huge expander for me. She, and even at that age, I just knew this woman had something that was sacred in her. You could just sit next to her and she didn't have to say anything. She'll just, you know, sway next to you and you just feel that energy.
I want to cry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was deep. Or she'll just put her hand on your lap, you know, or you know, look at you and smile. So she knew how to communicate without saying a word, love and support and whatever you needed. And so she was a powerful woman to me and someone who I would always go back to where so much so when I was rebelling in the streets and, you know, just being a product of my environment from South Central. I lost my way, and I remember at some point living with relatives because, you know, I didn't want to upset my father who was, you know, just on his spiritual path. And he was into African spirituality, Buddhism. He, you know, he tried a lot of the things coming out of the 70s, like that all this really sparked that whole wave that was out of the 70s. He was a part of that, and it really helped develop him, transform him, and keep his mind really open to more and more. And this is not my life. This is not what we have to do and be always. And so I was always open that we could have more.
And you have a sister, you said, as well?
And she's a Virgo.
She's a Virgo. Yeah. Oh, your soulmates are
She's
around.
A Virgo. Yeah. And my sister and I get along so well. We have never had a fight. We've never raised our voices at each other. And it's a thing where some people are like, are you serious? How have you not fought with your sister? It's just this... We know how to balance each other out. We know how to neutralize each other, you know, and we've really just never had a thing. You know, there's never been any type of issue. I mean, it's just different. Now, when it comes to, you know, friends out in the world with women, oh my goodness. Okay. I can talk about that all day. You know, yeah. What that's been?
I have that too.
Right. Yeah. But with my sister, that's always been a real safe, sacred relationship in my life, stable relationship in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, she was an expander for me. She was right out of college. She graduated from UCLA. She was the whole studious student.
The Virgo.
The Virgo.
Amazing.
She took a trip to, Barbados that changed her life. Mm-hmm. She came back. She locked her hair up. You know, she had her locks. She changed the way she was eating. She went plant-based. And this was in the early 2000s. And she completely changed her life. And she did it to where it was so unapologetic, even when she was new in it. You know, sometimes when you're new, you're still kind of like making excuses or you're kind of like pacifying or, you know, but she was so unapologetic that my family, some of our family were uncomfortable and thinking she was making wrong decisions. She's like, nope, nope, nope. And so she was an expander for me because I saw what she did with her life and how her vibration changed. And I didn't have that language for it at the time, but I just loved that thing. Just like I saw in my grandmother, I saw her starting to have that. And I just knew it was something with that. And so I had that, you know, coming up. My sister was an expander for me. My father was an expander. My grandmother was an expander. And throughout those beautiful moments, there was so much trauma.
Oh boy. I can feel it around, but it's so beautiful how you have alchemized. I can feel it literally off of you, but continue.
If it wasn't for these forces in my life, like I do feel like they were just angels on this path with me, or, you know, reinforcements on this path with me. I like to call them just people who can truly help you stay grounded, help you know when to do this, when not to do this, you know, get back on path. They reinforce what should be your life, what should be your truth or agree, or what you should agree with, what you should let go, what you should surrender. And they were able to enforce a lot of things within myself that I didn't have the strength to do, or even the focus awareness. They would remind me who I was. And so I give thanks for that. And so we talked about me being a child and depressed. And there was a period where I was good and I was doing the whole, you know, childhood model thing and a little bit of acting. And, you know, because my family thought that's what I should be doing. But that kind of didn't fulfill me. I never liked the feelings of being in auditions. It just really, I feel like it violated me on a soul level. Mm. just the whole competition and women not like supporting each other. Like I didn't, you know, because.
Oh, I remember it well as well. I did it too. Right? I always felt just truly like a fish out of water that was having That's to prove it. Myself. And I was like, this is it. This is, there is nothing organic about this. And I don't mean it in the way of the obvious. I mean it exactly what you're speaking about. Yeah. It didn't feel whole.
No, it's not whole, and it's not how we're supposed to use our feminine energy.
Oh, no.
You know, because we, the feminine energy is so powerful that we can be fierce. You know, we can be that lioness with the blood around its mouth that's hunting to feed its children, but we also can be that lioness who's just lounging and beautiful.
And weaving with others.
And weaving with our community.
In the red tent and in it together.
Yeah, and so I just feel as women, we have to know, you know, when it's time to just chill and just really community, welcome in, open, invite, include, you know, and you do that so well,
thank
by the way.
You, as well as you. I mean, you're thank holding you. All of that space for, I mean, at this point, it's almost 200,000 followers that are looking to you to be able to hold that space for them. It's incredible.
Thank you. That means so much. I truly desire to honor that and to hold that space and to live in some type of way that is a modern day monastery that I've always wanted to live in myself. But that hasn't been my life path. That hasn't been chosen for me yet. I don't know what can happen down the line, but, and I have looked into it because I was like, okay, I have to wait till my children are 18. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at all the little things that they say if you want to become a nun. And, but now I just, you know, I can never just let my children go and kind of like, you know, take that vow. Yeah. So, but I said, there's other ways, you know, we don't have to do that. That's the extreme and that's the most beautiful, but there are necessary, you know, roles and posts we can hold here in community, in the inner city and in our family, wherever it is. So that's been mine online. I just saw a space for people, you know, needing to feel welcome, you know, just all around, like inclusive, you know, just whoever, whatever, you know, hold space in that arena. That's been my passion. And that's a place my father was very adamant about teaching me. Being biracial myself, that's something that I've always been very passionate about, you know, sometimes not feeling Spanish enough, not feeling Black enough, you know, so I'm like, where do I fit in? Or sometimes it happens to where, you know, I feel just this love and honor, no matter who sees me as what, you know, I know who I am, I know my ancestors, and so I'm going to carry on the good traits.
I just find it so fascinating that you're on this journey to hold space for everybody in this really purest way. Is so stunning. And we were talking about that a little bit beforehand, how you were, you know, interested in monasteries and that practice. And you had mentioned that you've been single and celibate now for 6 years.
Yes, six years.
Can you tell us about that? Because I love this. There's just a pureness and an intention there that I think a lot of people would be very curious to hear about and to be expanded through.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, this is I love talking about this because I don't get to talk about it a lot. It's never like a topic of discussion. So this is wonderful. I would love to share. So I took a vow to be celibate after I divorced. And what was interesting is that once I really realized that this marriage is not serving me vibrationally, I knew it was over. Mm. You know, that was the main message I think I was waiting for, where before it was like the little micro things that I was noticing, you know, and I was like
the intuition, the hits, the signs.
Yep. Yeah. All of it. And for me, just when I put it all together that this is just not vibrationally serving me. And if this person is not doing any work, like I can't pull a grown up. You know, I can pull a child, you know, I can pull an elder maybe that, you know, needs my help. And maybe I can pull an adult who wants to work. But if a person does not want to do the work, or if they're in a place of where they think they're doing the work, and you know, that's even the worst.
The shadowy of it all.
It's, you know,
so hard.
It's so hard and so sticky, and it's just heavy, and it was just too much. And I was so unhappy to where I was having that, you know, and I always get it. My digestive system will always have problems and tell me. And I was living with constant chronic pain, and I just knew it was the marriage. And so when I decided to exit that, release that, you know, sacrifice that. And really, that's what it ended up being, a sacrifice to really get to who I was, to who I was supposed to be. And
can we quote that? I mean, that's the quote right there. I mean, for anybody who's simmering on this, in this, about to do this, has been through this. I mean, that's a beautiful way to have put that, you know?
Yeah.
So true, the sacrifice.
Yeah, it is a sacrifice. And what we do when we try to hold on to it, we make a mess. But when you sacrifice, you're giving it to something bigger and greater who knows how to alchemize that and to turn it into a beautiful journey, a success in your life and maybe the other person's life, you know. And I wish him well. I wish him healing. You know, I don't wish him harm whatsoever. And it's really, I've reached a place of such peace about it then. And it's funny because when we divorced, we were friends after.
Wow. Right
instant
away.
Instant friends.
All the tension had just been released.
It went out the window. It was like a big veil was lifted. And, you know, we remained friends shortly after. And then I just quickly knew that that was temporary and continue the work of moving away from that energy, which I did. And I was very aware that my instructions were to exit the energy. And now it was time to focus on me, focus on my life. And I had come to a certain place of already writing and of, you know, just really seeing what I wanted to do in the world. But it was still, I still had so much low self-worth. And I still had so many limiting beliefs. And I think that one of the things that kept me in the marriage was that he knew how to feed that part of me that needed the self-worth, but he didn't know how to honor it. You know, feeding it and honoring it are two different things. So I need you to feed it and honor it. Like, you know, have integrity and you know, do right by your wife or whatever. So the fact that even that, I said, if I have to have no one, if I'm my only cheerleader, that's what it's going to be. And slowly but surely, a lot of the things my late grandmother taught me came back to me. And I just really connected to, you know, her being a church elder and a church mother, really holding space for everyone. And just remembering, now she had a third grade education, and she used to pick cotton, you know, before school. And so by the third grade, she was like, her family was like, hey, we need you full time.
Yeah,
because
to support the family.
Support the family, right. And so she had a third grade education. So she really couldn't read well. So I would read the Bible to her. And that's where my love for writing came from. And even when I read the Proverbs, that was poetry to me. The whole Bible was poetry to me. I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. And that's spun off to me really sitting under her and just feeling comfort in her spiritual talks with her women, like her friends. Like, I was always wanting to be with all the elder women in my family versus like the younger, ones, you know. It was just so much warmth, and I love the way they were like, oh, hush your mouth, and you know, and the whole, you know, come here, baby.
I can see it now. Oh, it's so beautiful. Yeah. So beautiful to have been lucky enough to be around that and to have her presence. I mean, what a pillar.
Yeah.
And a strong woman. Where was she from originally?
From a place called Alani, Texas.
I knew you were going to say Texas.
Texas, yeah.
Because you find yourself there today.
Yes.
But on your way back here.
On my way back, yes. Yeah, so next month, I'll be back home permanently. Yeah, and Texas, I do feel like Texas also, besides my mother, which, you know, I share with you, I find Texas is a place of healing because, now granted, I was in Texas years before in a very abusive relationship. So one of the relationships, it was in high school, I met a man and a boy. He was a boy then. And we were high school sweethearts. And after he went through trauma that I wasn't aware of at the time, during that time, just, you know, he thought he was going to be able to go to college. Well, he went to college, but he thought he was going to have a certain career that he didn't end up having, didn't work out. And he was from the inner city of Dallas, like the hood of Dallas. And going back to that for him was like just the worst for him.
Hell. Yeah.
Hell. And so he truly spiraled all the way just out of control. He turned into a different person, turned into a monster. And, you know, at that young age, he didn't have anyone around him. And he came from an abusive father. All the guys around him were like, okay, well, why don't you get a street hustle? You know, just all of that. And, you know, he and me not knowing, you know, and granted, I'm here working in Hollywood and I'm trying to do my thing and I have my beautiful family. And then I go to, and well, when I say my beautiful family, my father, my grandmother, you know, I have my support system. And then I go move in with him. No, I get pregnant first. Mm-hmm. And I'm in LA. I'm still working in Hollywood pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I love you that you're in there. I bet you looked so beautiful.
You know what they did? They gave me roles for pregnant girls.
Isn't that amazing? That's incredible.
I was able to still work.
Wow. That's amazing.
Whoa, I don't have to wear, this is not a suit. This is really real.
Because it's very rare for people to book that. So how lucky.
I was so lucky and I'm grateful, but And, you know, I left all of that behind. I was making really good money. I left all of that behind and went to hell. You know, straight hell. I mean, we're talking like, let the journey begin.
Your karma. You were like, yes. I have to go face something here.
Something. This is all, you know, like, even though I had my own trauma and my pains from my family, you know, it really wasn't, I still had to go get that thing. When, you know, whatever that gave me, I had to go get that. A token in all of that, that coin under all of that, you know, it was there for me, which was, it appeared, but very long after, you know, it took me just going through therapy and healing and church and the mosque. I mean, I try to find myself all over the place.
Beautiful.
Oh yeah. Like, and I just was so open to the healing, and that relationship was so traumatizing that it really shifted a lot for me. And that's where my low self-worth that I had, that I did have from some of my traumas as a child, you know, just growing up in South Central, and, you know, just so many of my friends lost their lives to street violence and just so much. And, you know, I was ready to just be in a relationship. I just wanted love, like, mm-hmm. let's just love and, you know, let's just find life and see what that is for us. And, but, you know, he had to be what he was in my life. And I'm clear on that. To this day, I healed to a point to where it inspired him and he healed. Now, we're not together. We have a child together, my daughter, but I am so proud of his healing to where now I can hold space from a distance. Sometimes even answer questions, suggest a book or suggest this because I see the 100% transformation.
It's incredible that he did that.
Amazing.
I mean, as you know, like, that's a very hard road, especially
so hard.
Being a father. I'm so proud of him.
I know. And wow. That's what I said now. I'm like, you know, you've done so many things that most men don't, because it's, first of all, stigma. You know, if you need help and if you need to get counseling, that's that whole thing, especially black men, they need to be that whole strong, tough thing, which I'm just like, can we end this? You know, can we let black men cry and be vulnerable and be hurt? Even black women, you know, sometimes, like, you know, everyone looks at, like, my grandmother. Yes, she was that. And that is true. But, you know, as are all cultures, you know, we all have our women figures. But I felt like, you know, that is one of our traumas that we feel we have to put on this game face all the time. You know, it's a survival mechanism. I did it.
Survival, yeah.
Yeah, I did it in the streets, you know, like, I didn't want people messing with me. You know, I know how to put that force foot on.
Totally.
You know, and like, I mean, I can do it when I'm like walking down the street, and it taught me a lot. You know, it taught me how to walk down the street. If I feel a man being weird or feeling like a perv or something, you know,
totally.
I put that force foot on and he's gone. So it's like, it's funny how some of the street life taught me how to just really live no matter where I am. But also looking from where I am now from this lens, I'm like, oh, that was my intuition. That was my discernment. You know, I was doing these things in a certain way. Even this community was doing these things, and maybe they didn't have a language for it. The younger, I'm sure the elders definitely did, but the younger ones, we were just intuitively doing things that would help us heal. But so just, so going back to him, he's completely transformed now. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to leave that relationship with my child and I, you know, intact and alive. I was hurt, but it didn't kill me. It was never supposed to kill me. It was supposed to help me rebirth myself, which it did. So a part of me did die spiritually, vibrationally. And it had to make me angry enough to shift and change, you know, and to even, you know, call myself out on my own stuff, you know, like, okay, why are you leaving this relationship? And then, you know, you're kind of attracting the same type of guy. Like, come on now, you know?
It allowed you, yeah, to see patterns. And I really do believe that pain is that point of transformation for us, right? If we're in complacency or if things are fine and flowy, there's real no incentive.
Yes.
So thank God for those. Yes. And how did your daughter come out of it?
Oh, she came out so much tougher. She is tough. She's a tough girl. Mm-hmm. She's my daughter is the girl that, and I always got a kick out of this. It would just make me laugh because her guy friends, they'd be like, your daughter beats us up. Like,
wow.
She bullies us.
What's like, her sign?
She's a Cancer too.
Wow.
She's a Cancer.
Tough cookie.
And she's in July, that end of the spectrum.
Wow. And so you are end of...
I'm June 23rd.
She's July 9th. Cancer.
Yeah.
Wow.
But her, she has this feistiness in her to where she just has this posture to where like guys don't mess with her. You know,
that like they love just, that.
Yeah.
That she just projects.
She
just
projects
that strength.
Totally.
She's like, don't fuck with me.
Totally. To where me, they'll, you know, if I'm walking, like, hey, baby, you know, all of that.
All
like, I just used to not like when I was walking in the streets, like, they just won't even mess with her. Nowadays, I don't get that. I get a lot more respect now just because I really worked on some elder women, how to really carry myself in public so men are kind of like, receive me more in a respectful way. And that took a lot as a young woman. Mm-hmm. That opened my eyes like, oh, I do that? I can walk a certain way, or I can, you know, stare at him a certain way or answer him a certain way where that diffuses his, you know, wrong intentions, you know? And so that was, when I learned that, that was amazing. But yeah, my daughter she's really tough, and she now is coming. She teaches classes on my website.
Does she?
She is, you know, about 5 years ago, really seeing her on her spiritual path. She was doing a lot of soul searching. She's 21 now, and she is just, she's a rock. And I tell her all the time, she's going to be what my grandmother was. Mm. That's her. It's her in the making. All her friends call her for advice. And whenever, you know, I'm working and tired, she brings me tonics and she'll light candles. She just goes straight into service.
Nurture, yeah.
Nurture.
She's full service and nurture.
Yep, she is. And she gets it. You know, she gets the thing. And at her job, some of the older, she's the youngest person that works with her. And they're like, you know so much for your age. And, you know, granted, I take time with her to explain things. Like, I really take my time with her because as a young person, I knew what I had, the traps and the distractions. So I really want her to understand. And I've, you know, just made it a point to let her hear conversations I have with other women, to show up at events, to go to events with me when I do volunteer work, to mm-hmm. have her there with me, to really allow her mind to expand and to open up to a different possibility of how to use your energy in the world, how to use your pain in the world, how to use your voice in the world, how to recognize when somebody needs help and you can help. So these are things that I'm really grateful she's stepping into now. So she is just making me so happy because, as you know, being a daughter of someone who was an abuser, that, and then she's both ends of the spectrum. You know, her mom was abused, her dad was abuser. Like, mm-hmm. what is it going to make her? Mm-hmm. You know, that could
completely.
That can go in any direction that we don't want it to.
Absolutely.
But I'm so grateful that she just ascended versus going left, right. She just went all the way up.
Well, I just want to make such a point, and sometimes I'll get backlash for this because people aren't in a position where they're ready to hear this.
Yeah.
We underestimate how much power of projection we can really utilize. Mm-hmm. And I think just this whole last segment of what you spoke about is such a clear example of how you can alchemize. And even from the simplicity of you having elders teach you how to walk differently, for you to take the time to show your daughter and her own wisdom coming into this planet of knowing how to be strong, you know, and stop the cycle and break the cycle and project this don't fuck with me realm.
Yes.
We underestimate how much we can tap into that. And I like to talk about a manifestation. The moment that we empower ourselves on a subconscious level, like you've experienced, we stop attracting things that we that aren't good for us anymore,
right.
or doesn't feel right, or is in alignment with us anymore. Mm. And I used to have the same thing happen all the time. I would get catcalls. I was, oh my God, I was such a predator for like men in Hollywood.
Oh,
I mean, I had
yeah.
all, because I had such significant low self-worth and imprintation. Mm. And then when I started to do the work and change, it falls off. And it's exactly what your work is, what your site is change your vibration. And it really stops. So I just want the people listening, fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles, everybody, we have the ability within ourselves to completely transform that and project a whole different story. But more importantly, we have the ability to take the time to show our youth how to do the exact same thing, that they have that power. And that's what energetics are. Because that's all we're attracting, right? It's not the physical form of anything. We're literally attracting through energy. So I just think that's incredibly beautiful. And I think you just highlighted that so perfectly.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's, I couldn't agree more. You know, some trauma we can snap back, but some, it's like we lose that spiritual, you know, elasticity. And it's just like, oh my goodness, I'm stuck here and I'm not able to spring back this time, or I'm just, you know, what's going on? And whenever I've been in that position, it truly has been self-reflection, introspection, contemplation, all the things that's looking within, checking myself.
Turning the finger back to me. That's the only time my life gets better. That's when I do that.
Because who else can you change? You can maybe, you like my daughter, she's choosing right now to accept. I can only put it out there.
Influence, inspire is what I say.
There you go. I love it. But when I really got real with myself and said, okay, I'm going to do this hard work. And it was hard for a while, but then it gets fun and it gets easy and it gets just divine and sacred. And then it becomes ritual. And then when it becomes ritual, that's where I live now. And that's where I just don't not want to live here. Like I always want to live in ritual. And it's to a point now where I can look if there's a trigger, if there's some type of something coming up in me, I just call it out. You know, I call it out right away. I don't let it fester. I know if I give this 10 minutes,
it's going to be 10 minutes of hell for nothing.
Like, no, you're not going to get 10 minutes.
You have the tools.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, the inner child in you, you know, we just have to, and with, and this is what I've done with me. Like when I see that inner child, like about to, you know, maybe have a energetic tantrum or just something, you know, I just settle it right away. I'm not going to let this just like you wouldn't a child, you know, you would comfort, settle, whatever you have to do. Maybe if you have to put that God tone, you know, I call the God tone when you have to do the mother voice, the mother or the father voice. You know, maybe you need the God tone. So sometimes you need that mother, father, God tone voice and on yourself, you know, we can't be afraid to get real and hard with ourselves and to just go in there when it's not pretty and to be okay with people knowing and seeing. And we don't always have to have it all together. You know, could you imagine like trying to carry
the world,
Oh,
who has the arms for that? I don't.
Exactly. Me neither.
That's when my adrenals go out. I don't have I don't have the energy for
it. No, same. My adrenals and my nervous system is all just out of whack. My digestive system. So the body lets us know, no, this is not what it's supposed to be. And but it's beautiful when we can project in the right way, in a way that helps us thrive and heal and transform. And that's why for me, I love being able to encourage people and inspire people to vibrate higher. Because for me, that was what it was on my journey. Vibrate higher daily, meaning, you know, not that we're perfections, like we're vibrating higher every day, but it's a daily thing. It's a ritual. It's, you know, wherever you find yourself today, it might not be where you were yesterday. It could be higher, lower, wherever it is. You can vibrate higher from there. You know, you know, it's just like of an athlete, you know, a track runner. They fall, they're gonna get back up and run.
Totally.
Like, it's not over. The game's not over. You know, we've seen this so many times where the underdog wins. And so sometimes you can feel like an underdog in your day, in your life, in your community, in your workspace. But we've seen so many times that I'm just so inspired by the sports world. I don't really watch sports for like the
game. They're great for analogy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Analogies are fantastically plucked from those.
Plucked from them. Are you the one, like, are you like this too? Like, I'll be watching a game, like being all metaphysical. Movies, games, everything.
I do it especially with movies. I'll be like, well, that's why they got this. And this is all they did. You see how they stepped into their worth? That was their expander. And I also know how to write scripts. You know, I understand the formatting. So I'm like, makes a lot of sense. There's the call to adventure. There's the mentor expander. So I love that. I can't unsee that stuff in the world.
I know. I'm like, I'm breaking it, like always working. You know, like the mind is always going there. But it's beautiful how also these themes are just, they're just in, they're organically here around us. They're in movies, they're in music, they're in sports. They're just in the books, in the fairy tales, in the rap songs, in the rock songs, in the pop. I mean, you know, everyone is, I don't know. It's just the world is at a place now where I feel we're ready to receive who we are beyond just this physical, this,
the human suit,
the physical human suit. Yeah. And I feel like that's what this time now is about, just awakening that and also freeing us up, liberating us, reminding us who we are so we can take our power back and change. There's a quote I say, she remembered who she was and the game changed.
Yeah.
Because for me, that's what it was. It was remembering who I was. And when I say the game, not like a game competitive, but
life.
You know, life is a game.
Yeah,
you know?
It really, I believe it truly is. Yeah. I really do. That you can play the game.
Yes.
You can learn the tools to play the game.
Yeah. A friend of mine, Miriam Hasna, she made a good point one day she made an analogy that life to her is like a video game. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, she's like, I don't take it personal. She's like, just like if you're playing a game, if someone comes this way and you have to jump here and this doesn't work out, you have to go to a lower level to get to a higher level. She's like, you don't take it personal. You just do what you have to do. It's just a game. It's a simulation, you know?
A game. It's so true.
Yeah. Her and I resonate on so many levels all the time. But with that, we both kind of had our own way of saying that, just how, you know, you can change the game and take your power back in any moment. And any moment, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to continue the loop. And mm-hmm. You can exit and, you know, and create a new pattern, a new timeline, a new life, a new you.
Somebody who's grown up in South Central, you know, you come from the trauma of divorced parents. You've had to reinvent yourself many times from the pain of relationships, which I believe are the biggest lessons and teachers on the planet. What have been some of your biggest tools from rock bottom to where you are vibrating today?
Oh, I love this. Because really, before this was the hardest thing, but now it's the easiest. Because before, like when I was at rock bottom, it was easy to stay there. Because sometimes rock bottom is comfortable.
Oh, it's really. Lila wrote a great article last year on that. It's like even sometimes the depression, the creativity that you get from it, or the comfort of being in it.
Yep.
You know, I understand that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because it gets comfortable, right? And you just feel like, okay, this is where I'm at. And this is okay. And this is heavy. And sometimes it could be the attention we're getting. And this is another thing that another one of those places where I always say, you know, keep it real. You know, we have to have these conversations, these grown-up adulting is this too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just paying bills, but it's also calling yourself out. And, you know, in street terminology, like who, Ice Cube? Is like, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I love Ice Cube.
Right? Isn't he amazing? So that was my...
about like somebody who's totally transformed his life.
Gosh.
Unbelievably.
And
like
he's
path.
We're from the same hood.
Exactly. Yeah. And now like I pass his house in Encino and I'm like, holy shit.
Right?
Ice Cube's such a good manifester.
He is such a good manifester.
Legit.
He's another one. Like I would love one day just to be able to just sit and talk to him because I, you know, just to know where he's come from, you know, and when he was just like, hey, I don't like, what are we doing? You know, like it's time to shift our focus and our attention. And he's making like, he's shifted so much to where my son, who is 10 years old, couldn't believe that he once was a gangster rap.
No
rapper.
Way.
Yeah. He was like, Ice Cube, this is Ice Cube. Cause I was doing the whole thing of like, he didn't understand what gangster rap was. And we're doing like an educational thing.
Of course.
You know, just understanding what music is and where music came from. Kind of like the different pivots it had, the falls it's had. And Ice Cube, you know, he has taken accountability for that. A lot of those gangster rappers have. And if anything, they're all family men now.
Oh, it's amazing. Snoop Dogg.
Who
I believe in this lifetime we're supposed to be best friends. This is like definitely a belief. I'm like, I want to hang with Snoop so bad.
I love that.
You can feel like the beauty of his energy is unreal. And like his family, and he's so real and authentic still, like smoking and like creating. He's just amazing.
He's just like, he reminds me of like just a lotus.
I love that. That's a beautiful metaphor, like a lotus.
A lotus, he is. Because he's shown us so many layers of himself and he's been through so much to where, you know, it's not tarnished, stained him, and he continues to be such a light. And I love it. I love that now, you know, these men can you know, our children can enjoy them now in a whole different vibration, yeah. right? Like I was growing up and we were saying, you know, excuse my language, but F the police. And
yeah, oh, for sure. For sure.
You know,
I mean, it's goodness. Like, especially rightfully, like in the hood that you grew up in and what yeah. you were experiencing. Absolutely.
Oh, goodness. Absolutely. Oh, that it was so wild back then. And what was so interesting is that back then it was wild and fun.
Yeah.
You know, I was the girl, the young girl who was like, oh, the stick is that. And that's the sticky part, because it can seem exciting. And the bells and whistles, and you know, and it's just culture. But I see the same thing today, and when I'm talking to my daughter just about current culture and things that, you know, she comes to me that troubles her about her culture today. You know, she's Generation X. Is it X?
Is it X
or Y?
What is beneath the millennials? It's X.
Yeah, I think it's X. Yeah. So yeah, that's her. And she, you know, and so just trying to let her see that, you know, you can hold space. You don't have to commit to your culture, identify with it. You know, you can
paint
show
us
up
a picture, because I'm actually super out of touch of what like her struggles would be right now.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of the things that her culture, so her age group is Generation X is, so for those who are listening and maybe don't know, millennials, they're younger than millennials. Mm-hmm. And they are now in an age of everything is digital. Everything is instant gratification.
Totally.
You know, everything is about, you know, likes and, you know, just about what you can get for what you put out versus just, you know, we had the experience growing up where we just put out work because we liked it. Mm-hmm. You know, we were digging it and or we were able to support things that we saw without feeling like we had to be that.
Yeah.
Where she feels like her generation, like they have to almost become who they're looking up to. Like that's the whole thing of everyone's trying to look like this certain celebrity mm-hmm. or be this person, or we're pressured to be perfect or to produce so much
and
at our
filters,
young age.
Everything like filters, that must be a mess.
It's a mess, and it is, and it's so bad for their nervous system. You
oh,
know?
I can't even imagine, because they're on the device
they're
as
on
well.
The device all day.
And it's just like, oh, all the things piled mm-hmm. together.
Yeah. She's wow. So she told me the other day she's going to delete her Instagram. She's rarely on there, but she doesn't like social media for that, you know, for that purpose. But I do see, you know, a lot of it. And I think one thing that she noticed that was so great she saw was just a lot of the negative communication where people do feel like they have an outlet to say anything without mm-hmm. any discretion, you know, without any integrity, you know, versus where we were like, you know, say something nice or nothing at all. Where her generation, they're the ones mainly like in the center of, I have a right to say it, so I'm going to say it. But my thing is, even though you have a right to do it, should you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what this earthly right is, you also have a spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
You have a spiritual aspect of your being. Your soul, is this good on a soul level? It might be good on a, you know, physical gratification level, but how is your soul going to feel? How is your spirit going to do and feel after this? Is it going to throw you out of alignment? And growing up, I would tell her, you know, instances where when I would step out of my integrity, instant karma.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't even like the word karma, but, yeah. you know, just
no, I know. I always say it's your karmic path, and I sort of hardly believe in that in a
right.
weird way, because I see energetics in a different way.
Same. Yeah, but I'm like, instant payback, whatever. Yeah. Like, I, you know, so what's
what
funny?
Would be an example? Like, paint a picture of your youth. Like, say, height of it at 13, 14.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. So, height of it would be, I remember a time where I went... Well, this was with my mother, I think, because I felt at this time I went behind her back and did something very bad, and which was I had a boyfriend, and in my 14-year-old head, I thought it was okay to sneak out of the house and not only just go somewhere, but go to San Francisco.
Whoa! Yeah. From South Central?
Oh my gosh. So,
that's like a 7-hour drive for anybody listening.
So I thought it was
you
okay.
won't be back in the morning. Like, no.
Like, no. And what I did, I had a friend and I was like, okay, so 14-year-old Layla said, okay, so I'm at your house. And I was really spending the night at her house. But then the boyfriend called and like, we're going to San Francisco, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm thinking this is really working out good in my 14-year-old head, not knowing that this grown woman
oh yeah
is like, girl, please, you know. So basically it didn't work. She calls there, and I felt the instant payback was for, you know, just you know, going behind my mother's back and doing something that was so reckless, because anything could have happened on the road.
The fear, the stress that she must have had. Yes. Oh my gosh. The panic.
So she found out I wasn't there because the mother, the part about telling my friend's mother.
Amazing.
You know, so she calls the mother and like, it's late. She's like, oh no, she's not here. She's in San Francisco. So my mother and her husband get in the car and they come to get me. It's not like, we'll wait till you come home. They got and came. So you know, when that happens, you're in trouble.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
They have the whole car ride to build up their anger.
The whole car ran together. She's to the max. And I just knew, I was like, okay, she's coming. I was like, no, this is not going to be good. I was so scared. He was sitting there like hugging me because I was so scared. I was like, oh my God. And like every car, like every time I heard a car drive by, like just, you know, pit of your stomach feeling, I was like, oh my gosh. So, but I think what taught me about that experience is that for some reason I went through that just having more love. I mean, I really love my mother, but we had a strained relationship at that time. And, you know, it took us a while to grow into our harmony that we did eventually. You know, she became the best mother.
She really
just transformed herself and inspired us all. And so, but yeah, so that it just gave me more, like, I don't want to do this to her anymore. I don't want her to feel like that. And I don't want to feel that feeling of just feeling, you know, shame. Mm-hmm. Like that shame is a big discipliner.
Huge.
Right?
I mean, I believe every block too that we have to unblock like comes from shame. So shame is a huge imprinter and motivator in our
lives. It's
a
big motivator. It motivated me because even if I didn't get grounded, I think it was like a month or something, that shame alone got me straight.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't want to feel this anymore. This feels weird. Especially when it's something that you did.
Yeah.
You know, and you harm someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes if I did something to myself, you know, I could live with it. I could, you know, just shrug it off. But I didn't like seeing her hurt that way. And I didn't like her to feel like she couldn't trust me.
Yeah.
And that was another thing too. So I just really, you know, try to teach my daughter to stay in your integrity, awareness, vibration. You know, all these things that are not physical, but are everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what's running your life. It's how people receive you. It's how your opportunities are coming. It's what you're manifesting. It's how you're manifesting.
Completely.
Yeah.
It's what modern society completely doesn't recognize and has lost touch of.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to be so beautiful now that you're going to be transplanting back here. And it seems like, you're going to at least be spending time in your hood.
Yes.
Really trying to infiltrate this.
Yes. Yeah. That is my goal.
Inspire this.
Absolutely. Because I'm not happy. There's so much in South Central that I'm not happy with. And there's so many South Centrals in, you know, they're called something else, but they're all across America and just the inner city, the Black communities where there's liquor stores on every corner, multiple liquor stores competing with each other, fast food. Mm-hmm. Is it Ron? What is Ron? He's called the Gorilla Gardener.
I'm obsessed with how magical he is.
Amazing.
He's incredible.
Oh,
I think
gosh.
Shiva Rose first introduced me to the concept of him.
Really?
And he's doing gorilla, gorilla edible gardens all over South Central. It's incredible.
Do you know how he first did it? Do you hear the story?
I watched a mini documentary on him, and I know that he started to plant them in his own yard and then all around. And people started to get upset about it. It was a problem at first. Yeah. And now he's just so regarded.
Yeah. And well, the reason why he stayed on it and fought through all of that was because in the middle of the night, he had started noticing that, you know, some of his fruit was missing sometimes.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember
people
that?
They were coming
in the middle of the night.
Which is the most beautiful thing on the planet. Yeah. It's so beautiful to me.
Yeah. And then he's like, okay, this is something bigger. So then now they can take whatever they want, whenever they want. You know, if this is how you're getting your food and your organic produce, then I'm all about it.
Oh.
But a quote that he says is, I resonate with it so much because I understand where he's coming from, being, you know, from South Central as well. He is. He says that drive-through restaurants are killing more people than drive-by shootings. And that was so big for me because I was so glad he was able to put that on a global scale and platform because there's the food is terrible.
And so for you, when you do get back here, what are some plans of actions that you have? Or for the common listener who is super out of touch with that, like myself, what are plans of actions? What are ways we can help?
Yeah, well, there's definitely so many ways to help. And one of the biggest ones for me that I see could be a help, because I remember being there and seeing like the world outside of South Central, just feeling like a whole nother universe. And, you know, beyond seeing people that don't look like you, you know, whether it's white or it's Chinese, Japanese, people come into your community and you just thinking like gentrification is the only way that, you know, these people are going to enter your community. You know, there can be, the word treaty comes to my mind, peace treaties, you know, but wellness treaties, you know, just treaties among different tribes that we're going to work together. We're going to heal this. We're going to fix this because the damage is done. We all recognize that if we continue like this, if we continue being separate, if we continue, you know, just being exclusive, or we continue making things just unattainable, unaccessible to everyone, then, you know, we're not going to heal. And I think that that's when we have to say, okay, I'll use my resources, whether it's, you know, coming to, because of inner city, we need to learn about green spaces, how to garden, you know, in bigger scales. The schools need better education, better funding.
So underserved.
So underserved.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, just the quality of education alone of what you get outside of the inner city is night and day. And Abraham Maslow talks about, you know, just, I love his book, The Psychology Towards Being, because he talks about, and this is what was my situation and how I resonate with this and I see it, is that he talks about when you are becoming a higher being of yourself, transforming, that people who are trying just to survive versus people who don't have to worry about survival, they do better. They have longer, you know,
everything. They're healthier, better. Everything. Yeah. Their body's functioning better, everything. Yeah.
So when you can just get those basic needs met, you are good to go. So let's get the basic needs met of the inner city people. Let's just see what those are. Let's do, you know, just do this initial work, because sometimes we want the inner city to already have it together to heal, but we're forgetting that these basic needs
aren't met.
The schools still suck. The education, the quality of healthcare, you know, the type of healthcare Black mothers are getting.
It's unbelievable.
Pregnancy. Oh yeah. And then just the messaging, you know, just being more, if a person listening, or if whatever influence you have on creative agencies, on artists, create better art for people of color, you know, like, don't always want to see us, you know, acting a fool. Like, just stop where it is, because you're feeding into, and for anyone who hasn't seen it, I definitely would, if you really want to become aware and even kind of draw it back to some of its roots, I would highly suggest a couple of things. Three things, matter of fact. I would suggest looking up Dr. Joy Gilroy, her work. Her work is called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome.
Okay.
And it kind of talks about why Black people do the things they do. Mm-hmm. And it's very deep. It's not going to feel good, you know.
But it's necessary. And part of the process.
It's so good. And then watch also Birth of a Nation. Mm-hmm. Birth of a Nation, and not the one that was just recently out of, you know, about Nat Turner, but the original one that was turn of the last century. It is horrifying to see basically how they villainized the Black man, particularly in the movie, the Hollywood business, in the movie industry. And that whole movie is just like, oh my gosh, I get it. And then the third thing I would say is to look up, have you heard of the Willie Lynch letter?
I haven't.
Okay. The Willie Lynch letter is a must read, I feel like, for every American, to understand how America got its training, because they got it from somewhere.
Oh yeah.
You know, like how to be like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's that letter. They, you know, they employed his services, his wisdom, so to speak, if you want to call it that, as far as they were concerned. And it's all structured. It's basically a blueprint. Yeah, of how to do this. And so, you know, when you look at that and you put it into every century since, it's same, it's happening, but it's advancing for the times. So today, like, it's not the same as, like, you know, my forefathers, where they were, you know, maybe they went from being slaves to picking cotton to being sharecroppers to the Jim Crow South, you know, then to the Civil Rights Movement, the Black Power Movement with the Black Panthers, then, you know, to the inner city. And the tough thing about that is that, you know, the Crips and the Bloods, you know, these are synonymous around LA and around the country now.
Completely.
And But when they, Crips used to stand for community, revolution, and progress, you know, and these were all about the community. And the research is there just for anyone who's uncomfortable with that. But there's no way you can watch it and not see that this is what happened. It's just a blueprint. Mm-hmm. And so modern day times, how it's happening is through the rap music, the type of artists they're signing. They're signing artists who, you know, look like criminals. You know, they just are really glorifying a certain look, an image that in a certain time, it was truly street culture. And a lot of these artists, what's so, they're just like cute little kids, you know, they're not gang members. Now the only one was Nipsey Hussle, of course, but we know he's from my same hood. He was really transforming mm-hmm. and vibrating higher and, you know, just doing so much for the community. And oh my goodness, like you have to receive it. And what I feel so heavy about and then so good about now, there's just, it's like a double-edged sword, is that I don't want this just to be another moment to where, oh, okay, another Malcolm X, another Martin Luther King showed up, you know, and then there are just more problems after that. Like, I really want the world to shift in a way to say this is enough is enough. And, you know, and it took a gang member to do the work because who else was doing it? You know, and you have so many people who have so many resources that could come in and do this. He was doing clothing stores. He was opening up tech centers. You know, he was opening up like a resource store for like just like almost like a general store. When I saw it, I was like, oh, this is a general store. You know, just, you know, your five and dime general store. In his own way, he calls it a necessity shop. Mm. So he built that for people to be able to come and get just basic necessities all in one place. It's just so many different companies he had. He had like real estate, a Fatburger, like just so many things. And now he switched from Fatburger to going to do like, he was opening up a vegan restaurant. It just, you know, so you can see the growth.
So inspiring. It's so beautiful.
Yep. You can bless see the you. Growth. So bless you. But what I do know and trust is that, you know, the divine will show up through whoever it sees fit. You know, yeah. It'll be a gangster. It could be a grandmother. It could be, you know, somebody turning their life around, a child. Barley.
Yeah.
It could be Barley.
I don't know if it's this lifetime, but I thank you for sharing those resources with us and for the listeners as well, and myself included. Like Amazon, sign me up now because I need those resources. I think everybody does. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode that I hope you're finding very expanding to tell you about a special offer that you won't find anywhere else but here. So with the code JOURNEY, that's capital JOURNEY, simply put that in order to receive your first month off free for the pathway or 10% off any of the a la carte. And once you're in the pathway, there's a suggestion of exactly what you should follow, starting with a formula and magnetism workshop, moving into reparent and shadow, and then you'll move through, if you're calling in a career, opulence, you'll move through partnership if you're calling that in. And of course, everybody should be doing the daily reprogramming exercise. The beautiful thing about the pathway as well is that you will have access to the Facebook group, which is the like-minded community you've probably been manifesting. And it gives you access to all of the Unblock villages that are meeting up around the world. So you'll be able to find one in hopefully your neighborhood. And you get full access to my class, which is twice a month called Supported, where you can write in any question you're having about your manifestation process or manifestation in order to have me answer your question. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
There is a lot of, I think, necessary dialogue happening between privilege and this and that. And I just definitely want to hold, and, you know, being my work is unity. So I come from a place of, you know, I'm holding space for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, women who don't even know they're privileged. You know, they, you know, she just doesn't know that she's, you know, maybe she is a byproduct of, like, you know, somebody's being a slave and, you know, her family really getting over from a certain way long time ago, but she doesn't know. And I feel that, you know, we want to move really respectfully and aware that at the same time, even the people with privilege, they're on a soul journey. Mm-hmm. And they are redeemable. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy in, you know, in prison right now, he's redeemable. You know, the gangsters on the street, as we see with Nipsey Hussle, he's redeemable. As my own life, you know, I've been arrested. I've been, you know, rock bottom. I'm redeemable. You know, everyone is redeemable. But what I think it is what you have to offer. You know, don't feel any type of shame about it. But don't feel higher than thou.
Totally.
Either. Totally. Maybe just see how I can use my life or my, you know, my blessings as, or resources, however you want to call it, as a resource to help someone else. And when we look at that, that's more of a community, you know, it's like a potluck,
totally.
You know, a spiritual, vibrational community potluck. Let's all heal. And, you know, African spirituality teaches us that everyone is the mother, mm-hmm. you know, it's,
oh, it's so beautiful.
Oh yeah. You know, and that's what growing up in the Black community was like, especially with my grandmothers. You know, you had your, all my aunts were my mother. They all could discipline us at any time, you know?
That's great. I wish I could spend a day in this house with your grandmother, your aunts, like the Bible group. Special that you had that.
Oh, yeah.
So special.
They made tea cakes and they would do the tea and they would do, you know, bring over a dish and they would just be singing. I mean, it was just so much soul. And for me, also a part of my journey, I know, is to carry that on. And there was a conversation I had with my daughter recently just about, you know, we're losing a lot of that generation, mm-hmm. you know, that generation who never knew a device. They never knew a computer.
Completely.
You know, I mean, their whole life was their social media, you know, like
that was
their lifeline. Yeah. That was their network. And they were really, if they were an influencer, it was because they were influencing community and they were like groundwork.
Yeah.
No, granted, I love
grassroots.
Yeah. That's it. And I love that we're able to adjust to how we are now, you know, so I'm clear that our time wasn't meant to be that. We're meant to be where we are now, but we can still, you know, we're riding on their shoulders. You know, they laid the path, like we're laying a path for others to come before us. So just, you know, in spirituality and different cultures, but especially African spirituality, teaches us to honor the ancestors and to really just live in ritual and live your life. If you live your life like it's ritual, that helps you just off top. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to make sure your vibration is right. You're eating what best, no matter, you know, and there's so many theories on how to eat, but I just say eat vibrationally based eating is how I eat.
I love that. It's another way to say intuitive eating for your body. What makes you feel the best and what is your body asking for to have the most energy and highest vibration?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause any other way was so exhausting for me. And I would try to do this, that.
Oh, too much information. It's just crazy out there.
And then there's the fear around it. Like I'm like, well, this is going to make me just as sick as...
Yeah, my stomach. Because I'm just freaked out that I'm doing the wrong thing. You know, absolutely.
That's a whole other thing I have to worry about. So just simplify everything, because that's one thing I do know is that the best things are going to be simple. Mm-hmm. You know, just like simple food.
Yeah.
Just eat what's real.
Eat what's real.
You know, do local, what's real for you.
Fresh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also want to thank you too for being patient. Like, I think it's so important to say the unity aspect you said earlier, not to take it back too far, but being patient with privilege is really, really beautiful. And saying that, you know, I think in this current time frame, nobody knows how to act or come together in a lot of ways, and you're really holding a really beautiful light and space for that, for everybody to make mistakes but bring their gifts, do what they can, redeem themselves how they can, and be on that soul journey. And so thank you for mentioning that, because I see it all over, like, the wellness world. There's just so much going on, and rightfully so, a lot of change, but having that patience with privilege is a really beautiful thing, and just so much vibrancy and you know. So I just really appreciate you speaking about that for everybody and giving those resources and having that patience.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Before we wrap, people will kill me if I don't ask you, what has been your career trajectory to lead you to where you are right now? Because, I mean, you're in such a beautiful place of influence. You're an entrepreneur. You are a single mother doing this, like, in the world. Give us a little bit of that nutshell for the person who's like, how do I do this too?
Yeah, for me, it all started with me basically understanding there was fear stopping me from, you know, expanding out and doing more with my gifts. And once I was able to exit the fear and just know that fear is a part of the plan, fear doesn't mean to stop. It means to keep going. There's energy there. That this is a new energy. It's foreign to the body. And so it's going to take adjusting. And that energy will now soon adjust into and transform into passion and purpose. You know, I've seen it happen over and over again. And the more I move through the fear versus it paralyzing me, the more I let go of people who didn't serve me, relationships, whatever. And then the more I was able to hear and focus in on like the way, the path, the vision that I saw for me. And I also allowed myself to know that I wanted to, one, I wanted to write. Mm-hmm. I wanted to write in a real way that was, you know, more than writing in my journal and that would touch people. And then I knew that I wanted to offer a solution, have a space online where people could get, you know, expanded knowledge of what I was talking about. And, you know, granted, my website will be going through a whole major makeover now.
It looks so beautiful now. I can't wait to see it. I'm like, the branding's great. It looks
thank amazing. You so much. Yeah, I'm being called to, and even challenged in the spiritual realm to take it up a notch and really just go deeper with the teachings. And so that's what I'm going to do. So it's going to be a whole nother, just a whole new way to interact and have an experience there with Vibrating Higher Daily and what that looks like. But I always knew that I wanted to offer that in the world. And so I worked through distractions. I worked through sicknesses. I worked through even death. Like, as I was telling, my mother transitioned last year, and just the message I got every time I went to sit down, it's like, I need to stop. I need to take, you know, I don't know how much time off. It would be like, get back up.
Oh, wow.
It was like in the boxing ring, you know, the coach like putting you back, wiping your sweat and blood off. Get back
like
up.
We gave you a body for a
you
reason.
Know, we gave work. You that body. Yeah. Do that work, right? Because your mother, you know, you can't just, you know, sit by
her
grave.
It was probably her too, like being like, get to work.
Totally her. It was so her. Because, you know, they go to the other side and they're ready to help.
Oh, they're like, ready to guide you, whether like, you want it or not.
Girl, I didn't die. She's like, I didn't die for nothing. You better get up.
Get moving.
Yeah. Get moving. Like, get it. Get the lesson. Get. I'm trying to work here. So, and they want bodies. You know, they want willing bodies who are doing the work. And, you know, when you make yourself, you know, accessible to them, it's so beautiful. And so all of that, I just knew I was clear on my vision. And I do see celibacy for me.
Yes, we're back to that because that's going to be my thing. Tell us about that. I want to hear, because I did that for 3 years in my 20s. And I honestly had one of the biggest spiritual upgrades when I did that.
Oh, that's it.
No distraction. Yep. Like, I was so inward and so committed to making sure that I would never be in a rock bottom I had been in before that, that I just didn't have time for any of that. Like, it was such a pure upgrade. So I really want to hear your intentions around that, you know, like looping into the work aspect as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was that vest totally for sure. It started out as the spiritual for me. Cause I was like, okay, I feel called to just, you know, in a word we use in the church community is consecration. You know, just God is setting you apart. Of course, you know that. And so I just really felt that the divine was calling me to be set apart for something. And I didn't fully understand what all, but I understood that I had to be separated. You know, I had to get away from my life and I had to get away from sex. Mm-hmm. And I saw sex as and what helped me too, that I was able, this really helped because I was able to start seeing how sex is such a game in relationships. You know, you do this, I do this. And, you know, and it's all about sex sometimes, you know, the fights and the arguments, or, you know, the women, we're tired and the men. You know. Yeah.
There's so many layers. There's so many layers. Well, Lila and I laugh because we're so heady. We're like asexual. It's like, we're like, let's philosophize all night. Yeah.
Totally.
But there's so many layers you're talking about, you know, that take up your energy. They really do.
It really does. You know, so you have that aspect, right? Am I doing enough? Am I enough?
Am I enough is a huge one.
That's a huge one. And then, you know, people come in with, you know, their expectations. Then you have outside projections. And then you have the thing of, you know, is this the person? Like, is this person fueling me? You know, I'm giving my life force, exchanging life force with someone. What is he giving me and what am I giving him? And that was one thing for me. And also learning about soul ties. Are you familiar with soul
ties?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Which is so funny because I see patterns all the time. I can't help it. My brain sees them. But have you, I mean, you obviously are very aware of this, but you, I see you as a catalyst because if you, just based on what you've been speaking about during this whole conversation, everyone around you has catalyst for the most part into their like higher soul upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. Your sister did it before you had a chance. Your dad was in pursuit. Your daughter's father, I mean, your mother went on to totally upgrade. Yeah. You're like a little catalyst energy. Oh. And that's so your soul tied family.
Oh my goodness.
Like you all came, I feel like, to work that out together.
That is so amazing. Oh, Lacey, yes. I receive that. That I feel that in my bones. And I do because sometimes I'll look and I'll say, how did I get here? Like we're all just in harmony, you know? And I love it. I love that I can talk to my father about anything on the spectrum. My sister the same way, my daughter the same way, my mother was the same way. And my mother, she was a die hard like Bible Belt woman for a long time.
Catholic.
Yeah. You know, I mean Christian,
okay.
You know, and we always used to laugh, her children, we always, cuz she did like all the holidays, she had the wreaths on the door.
Wow.
Like she was really like, so she would put like scriptures. She was so serious. Like the scriptures would be in the reefs.
So committed.
And like the stockings and in the towels. She'll have like the things on the, they'd be all around her house. So you would feel like, okay, whoa. Like, whoa. And then, so she was really there. And so we saw a change in her and she started getting, you know, just awakened. And it was real cool because I think what helped her get awakened was because she was already, you know, healing and being a good mother. But when she really started healing in awareness or awakening to a whole different woman was Trayvon Martin.
Wow.
Because she has black children. And see, some of my family, it's funny because their Spanish side, some of them look very Spanish as far as white Spanish, like Castilian.
Yeah.
And then some of them look like dark Spanish. Like they can even be like Arabian or something. Like, so it's just kind of mixed. So, you know, she has a diverse family and then she does have some family who didn't quite get, because they don't have to get that. They do look white and they kind of can pass and, you know, they never have got some of that. But then like our other side of the family, who's kind of darker Hispanic, you know, they like, no, this really happens. And then another layer just being that, you know, she has a black son. Mm-hmm. She was terrified. Mm-hmm. You know, she was like black grandchildren, you know, grandsons. And so it really brought her to a place of discovery, of educating herself. You know, she started asking us about documentaries. And the day I knew, you know, I felt like her initiation, you know, if I could say, girl, you joined the gang today, you know, like, yay. You know, the awakened gang, the girl gang, is when she watched a five-hour documentary with me that I didn't think she was going to watch the whole thing, and she did. And she just wanted more and more and more.
Will you share with us so we know that resource?
Yeah, I will. It's, that one is called Empire of the City.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you seen that? I haven't yet, and I do need to watch that.
Oh,
1,000%. I've heard about it, yeah.
It's so long, but it's so good.
And so important.
So important. And for me, I didn't really know she was going to watch the whole thing. And she was never the same since. And so the fact that she watched that opened her up to, there's a whole nother agenda happening. Mm-hmm. So because there's a whole nother agenda happening, it makes sense that this could be happening as a spinoff of that. It's all related. And, you know, it trickles all the way down to the things, you know, like the education, like you were talking about, the education system, police brutality, you know, just all these systems of power that are in place to disempower other people. And so when she started realizing that, she just got more active and more social. And I was very, made me proud. I was like, go, mom. You know, it was beautiful. And the fact that she, for me, the fact that when she transcended back to her, you know, her full glory, that she reached a place, I feel, a mastery.
Oh, yeah.
It just made everything. It just meant the world to me to watch her.
And I think any child desires their parent to advocate and support them on such a deep level in any way that this yes. that's a whole different level of yes. of putting herself completely in your perspective, her children's perspective, her family's right. perspective. I mean, that is so beautiful.
Right. Yeah, because there was a conversation once where we were having, and it was a lot of tension of like, and not tension as far as heated, but of like back and forth. You know, it was like a spring that doesn't want to move, you know.
Yeah.
She was not getting it. And it was all her children, you know, talking to her about situation. And she did one of the most regal things I remember. It's just so etched for me, is like, she just like, she her posture got straight. And she said, okay, I'm going to figure this out. She's like, she just started asking questions. She didn't say anything else. She didn't have anything to ask, but a question.
Yeah,
she just wanted to receive now. And by the end of that conversation, she was a whole different woman. I felt like that opened her up as well. So it was her just posturing herself in a different way mentally. Cause like, just seeing her, how she sat up now, when I look back, I'm like, she was doing the same thing in her mind. You know, she was correcting her posture and her, you know, her mental posture,
yeah.
her spiritual, her vibrational posture. So she wasn't all, you know, just closed off, but she opened up to really to another way and another perspective. And then especially from her children, she's like, I never really thought that this is your experience. Like, who am I to tell you that this is not right? What you're experiencing it. And we, you know, cause we all had to tell her, we've all multiple times dealt with racism and, you know, just feeling uncomfortable in certain spaces and, you know, just the whole bias, you know, the whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
And not many people of color, you know, are free from it. And you have some that maybe are a small percentage, but we just walk that way. And sometimes it's so ingrained in us that we don't realize that it's a problem or that it shouldn't be that way. And so, but when people can look in and say, I get it, I hear you, that's really where the healing starts, versus trying to make excuses and trying not to be a part of the conversation. You know, ask questions and dig in. And Dr. Joyce's last name. She's another one. She has the short white hair. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Dr. Joyce?
Mm-hmm.
She's another good teacher of, you know, as well, to pay attention to. But you know, these conversations heal the family, they heal communities, and they heal the world. Like, I just feel like, you know, it can, the more it expands out, you know, because it could be a neighbor. Maybe you don't have any Black people in your family, but it could be a neighbor,
completely.
One of your, you know, children's friends, you know, you can, you know, inquire, include, maybe invite their family over, whatever it is, just really getting out of the comfort zone and maybe even feeling awkward, you know, because I can understand that can be awkward. But one thing I remember in the Black community is sometimes there were always like that one or two white families that mm-hmm. like lived on the block. And it's funny because no matter where I've been, it's always been, you know, that, you know, there's that one or two white family or the white guy in the school or the white girl in the school. And it's funny because like in urban cultures, we'll call them white chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
We just adopt you in.
Totally. Yeah.
And you're white chocolate, you know, yeah. And that's just what you are now. So it's really funny. But I just have faith in humanity. You know, my messages are coming in to keep hope.
Yeah.
To hold space.
A big question I have for you, yeah. for the women of color listening, or the men of color, people of color listening.
Yeah.
For someone who feels like you've overcome so much in your life, what are the tools you use as a woman of color to feel in a world that I would say 100% is a lot of the world is trying to disempower and put yeah. people of color, you know, disempower the community? How have you been able to project your power or to take your power back in situations through the process of vibrating higher? Mm. Something I truly will never understand.
Yeah.
What would be the tools that you can help to expand that listener?
Mm. What has helped me is, what has helped me the most is tapping into African spirituality. And it doesn't mean that I walk away from Christianity. It doesn't mean that I walk away from, you know, my father was a practicing Buddhist. I don't walk away from any of that. I integrate it all. So, but when I was introduced reintroduced, you know, because my ancestors knew it, and you know, we lost it. It was, you know, when we came here, we were killed and beaten. We couldn't practice our stuff at all. Right? We couldn't bring our herbs. Like, we were sneaking herbs, and we were caught.
We were considered killed. Witches, everything.
Witches, yeah. All of that. And so it's been embedded in us to be afraid of, like, the truth of, you know, certain paths. And so the fact that there's been a lot of work on cleansing that to now where, on a mass scale, we're opening back up to it. You know, you see Black women saging and really owning their thing. They're wearing their hair more natural now. Like, it's beautiful. Just however you want to show up and know that you inherently have a right to be here. And it doesn't matter, like, what wars were fought, you know, what blood was shed, what laws are in place, what views are in place, what projections, whatever it is, that you have a purpose to be here. You have ancestors who were great, you know, so it's not just the family around you you see now. Maybe it's pain, maybe it's low self-worth, you know, maybe it's, you know, generations who haven't been able to get it together, haven't been able to get off of that loop, you know, stop the loop, but it's in you. You are the one. Look at yourself as the one who can break the cycle. Oh, that's and look at your one as look at yourself as the ones who now live a purpose-filled life with everything that happened to you. You know, you don't have to minus anything. You're just going to start adding. Okay, so all these things you don't like about your journey, but we're going to start adding so that way it evens out the equation. And once it evens out the equation, you can live life from a place of an educator. You know, you're more well-versed. You can help people. You can relate to people. And also, you know, just know that you're a spiritual being. There are going to be some times as a spiritual being where, and it's not fun. It's not, I don't like that, you know, I had to, incarnate into a race that we were so traumatized, but we did. How do you feel about that
as a spiritual being? That's always a question. Yeah. I always really, that's something I've always wanted to inquire about is your soul taking this body, taking this family, taking of the area that you were born into. When you've done your spiritual work on that, what are your feelings that you reside in with that?
Yeah. As far as family in general, like both sides? Or
think of the journey, like all sides, like of your soul taking this body and this soul family growing up in South Central, like the adversities you were going to have to overcome, what comes up for you when you do that work?
Yeah, it for me 100% is because of my purpose. So when I didn't know my purpose, it all looked like victimization. All of it. Like I felt like a victim, even though I was victimized a lot of my youth and I was traumatized. None of it made sense. It angered me. It angered me so much. And where once I started doing the work to heal my life, I look back at all of it, okay, this is part of my purpose as a teacher of what I'm supposed to bring to the world. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, I don't think that we're supposed to look at ourselves and say, well, we should have had a perfect life. Or if we didn't have a perfect life, God doesn't love us. Because I hear some people, you know, kind of like throw out the whole spiritual thing altogether because they're like, well, what kind of God would let us go through this as far as people of color? But there have been many people who have suffered, and I understand, like, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Like, I feel African Americans have suffered the longest, you know, when we look at time.
Oh, beyond, without a doubt.
Yeah, right? Beyond. Time limit. And you're like, okay. But I just have this knowing, I know that if we were to galvanize, get together, we can be back at such a beautiful healing place because Black culture and Black art, like what the Black soul, just like the white soul, the Hispanic soul, the Japanese soul, there's beautiful things that they have contributed to. You know, we're like, I love Chinese herbs and I love, you know, just there's so many things that I love that Black people, we are more than sports and rap.
You're so much more. Yeah.
Yeah. Video girl. Like we're more than this. So when we can heal our lives to get beyond the distraction, we can contribute to the world and then it makes sense why we're here. Oh, you know,
that was just the most beautiful thing to say. So by tapping into your roots, like taking back the power of your culture and really, really being unapologetic for showing up and I'm just summarizing so I understand like what makes you feel empowered, mm-hmm. it makes you take your power back from the victimization, was doing the work to understand 100%. Your purpose. And 100%. You did that through spirituality.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
And then, well, you know, and then the awareness of why you're here comes also when you start helping people, you know, because you have to get up from a point of victimization to doing the work, finding your purpose, and then helping others. And but because if you're not at the point of helping others yet, you're not going to connect that I went through this for a reason, you know.
Oh, beyond, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. It's never going to connect for you. But once you start helping others and changing lives, you're like, oh, I get it. Like, I did this because, you know, I have this brand or this book or this, you know, this thing. I'm whoever I am, whatever it is.
That's like, bigger than me, and my soul chose this.
My soul chose this. And I truly believe that the family I chose was going to, like, wring out every last thing in me, literally, yeah. that needed to come out. And they needed to stretch me. They needed to expand me, frustrate me, love me, all around the spectrum, you know, because families do that. It's like a circus sometimes. But when you can, at least, and all it takes is one, if it's just one person in the family, maybe it's just you, holding space and, you know, and being like the griot. The griot is what we call it, like in the African culture, the storyteller. You hold the stories, you keep the traditions so they don't die. So if that's you who says, okay, this is going to be our new story, not that you have to be a griot, but, you know, just the whole thing of, I'm going to take this new way now. I'm going to hold these traditions. I'm going to pass them on to the youth, to the children, to the community. So you can take that concept and expand it and say, how can I now go into life different? You know, then contributing in a way, or even feeling that I'm less than, or that I don't really know why I'm here, just reasserting yourself in the spirit realm and say, yes, I'm here, you know, getting, and just the biggest thing I can say, just maybe an impactful way to say it is, you know, getting spiritually gangster. You know, you just have to sometimes just get up, like I do sometimes, and like, girl, not today, you know, like, I'm going to get up. Like, I'm not going to have this mood. I'm going to shake this off of me. I'm not going to have like this headache right now. Like, I literally do that sometimes, mm-hmm. and it just goes away.
You're so powerful. Yeah. And everybody is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I'm like, if you just reassert yourself, things happen, you know, but it takes self-worth, like really knowing that you can do this, that you're worth it. And living a life that is full of purpose. But whenever you see people who have made it out of these situations, it's always been the people who have done some type of service, mm-hmm. in some type of way. Like, you can't get around it.
Yeah, you have to. And done some type of work, usually, I find, too. I'm just saying generally with people in general. It's mm-hmm. like they've had to have done some type of work to find that power again.
To find it, yeah. And it could be a small. I mean, it doesn't have to be big and grand. It could be small. Like,
it could just be a book.
It could be, yes.
It's like a book you stumble upon. That
it's
you're
a
like,
book
I
you
get
stumble
it
upon.
Now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just your child.
Yep.
Maybe it's your husband, maybe your mate, your partner. And, you know, maybe it's an elder. Like, it can be anybody, but just share it. Pass it on. Yeah. Pass on the wisdom. Pass on the healing. Pass on the tools, the ways. And that way, you know, that way it's, you're balancing out people's options. You know, you never know what you're going to bring up that somebody never thought about or
absolutely.
Never had access to, you know, and I love sharing books that I'm reading, and I love sharing, you know, documentaries and people that inspire me, because I like that. Like, I'm the same way. Like, I know what feeds me, and I love discovering new people. And I just feel like it's a network. That's the way we can kind of, in our human computers, you know, we're passing along this network, this information, gathering it, sharing it, and, you know, just helping each other be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for your grace and your patience and your elegance, how you're showing up in the world. For me, thank you. And then for this community.
You.
Do you have any courses coming up?
I do. I'm going to be restructuring.
Okay.
Restructuring and creating new courses, because there's so much that I've just been thinking about doing in terms of a lot of what we talked about today, just with community and, you know, growth as far as coming together, what that could look like, unifying both sides. There's also, you know, just topics on empowerment, but going deeper besides just, you know, self-care and the things.
Eat
you know,
an avocado toast. Yeah, yeah. Like, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Meditate. Yeah.
Right. Meditate. But really going in and doing that work that we're not happy to do. Because we have to do it.
You have to. That's all I believe in.
You know.
That's all I'm making everybody do. Just do the work.
Just do
it. Life gets so much better when we do the work.
And you feel lighter.
You do.
You know, and so all that's coming. And I'm just excited about this year. I'm excited about California.
Yeah.
Being back here.
We're so excited to have you back. Oh, wow. And so
I cannot wait.
This is the weekend you're looking. And then.
Yes.
Lo and behold, you'll be here as soon as you find the place.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So send me all the energies.
Oh, I am, man. Manifest that. It's going to happen. It's coming. It's, your vibration's so high, it's on its way.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And where can we find you, even though it'll be in the show notes?
Yeah. So I'm Layla Delia on Instagram and on Twitter. I am on Tumblr periodically. That's where I used to always be only.
Wow.
But yeah, and my website is vibratehigherdaily.com.
Which is beautiful and great. So I can't wait to see what the new one's going to be.
I can't wait to show it to you and just get your feedback and, you know, just
I'm going to love it. I can't wait for the courses, the new ones.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I'm growing. You know, one thing I can say just transparently, that, because I want to inspire other people, is... like some days I still don't know what I'm doing on my website.
Same.
Yeah. Really?
I say like we're shoulder to shoulder. We're figuring it out every day.
Every day.
Our motto around here is just like, give everybody what they want. Like I never, ever, ever intended to have a podcast, nor do I even feel like I'm a qualified podcaster. None of that. Mm. But it was the most requested thing. So we're like, cool.
Wow.
We literally have no idea what we're doing ever for the most part. It's all of us sitting together being like, what do we do and how do we do it better? And it's like, we're still so amateur at so many things.
Yeah.
So thank you for being transparent and sharing that.
Oh yeah. I couldn't agree more. But the fact that, you know, together, you know, it's good that you have the team because together you can make it happen. And that's what I see. My daughter's coming on now.
Yay!
And maybe a few more people we could think, you know, just, you know, so I'm excited and just about where Vibrate Higher Daily is going. And part of me was like, I think I'm going to take what I have on my website down for a little while, just take a break to kind of reinvent it. So that's a meditation, but it hasn't happened. So maybe it's not supposed to happen. But I'm just flowing and I'm growing. And I love, part of me like used to be like, oh my gosh, they know I don't know what I'm doing. But now I'm like, if I mess up, I'm like, it's the struggle's real.
The struggle's real, and it's people real, you know, can connect to that so much deeper. It's just unlocking the shadow. There's no such thing as perfection.
That's it. And it's freed me up so much now to just do what I do, you know. Don't worry if I'm, you know, if I make a mistake, if I say a wrong word, or like there's been, it's so funny because sometimes I completely chop wrong word, wrong context, and like the perfectionism in me sometimes.
Oh, I bet the Cancerians like,
oh my gosh.
Knife through the heart.
Yes. And I'm like, no, but you know, I've grown in that area and I'm like, okay, you know, they'll
whatever.
Get it.
Yeah, they'll get it. They'll decode it. Yeah.
Yep. They'll get it. And so, but it's just a freedom now where I love the flow and it's just opening me up to more ideas. And so yeah, Vibrate Higher Daily is growing. And so expect more coming soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lacey. Thank you so much.
And
I love your work, I have to say.
Thank you.
I love your message. I love your delivery, your openness. And I love how you are allowing people to expand, find expanders, because your work is so necessary and so healing. So thank you.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. And thank you for anybody doing it, because you're really just showing up for yourself. Anybody listening, that's what I always say.
Yeah.
And we wish you a really good weekend.
Bye, you guys.
Too. Bye.